It's good to be back with all of you today. I did have quite an interesting weekend last weekend, so if you want to ask me any questions about it afterwards, that's fine. I ate more spicy food in one weekend than any human being is capable of doing. But it was a nice time to spend with Courtney and her in-laws. It's nice to be back where English is the primary language. We've been doing this series of sermons, trying to get a feel for what it is that we hold is essential to being a disciple, a true, committed follower of Jesus Christ. And we've talked about a number of different things, and today's is kind of it seems like an oddball type of topic for us to be dealing with as disciples, because what we're doing is we are taking the Christian calendar, the year that we celebrate as a way of reaffirming our faith in the course of a year. And we're looking at this one day called All Saints Day. And it's a bit of an oddball day because it always falls on November 1st. And so sometimes we skip it because it doesn't fall on a Sunday. Sometimes we make some notation of it. It's not a big holiday for us. And then we try and think of that. Why was it so important? Why was it seen as essential in the Christian calendar? Why did our forebears in the faith, why did the early church think that having this day set aside was so important that they included it in their calendar, included in their teaching ministry that they did based upon that calendar? But first glance, it's a bit of a sentimental day. At first glance, it's a remembrance of those whom we have lost. And it's good. It's good to keep in our hearts and our minds those who have gone before us into the heavenly kingdom. And that is a good thing. And yes, that's a part of why they included this. But I think more so, it was included so that we would have that kind of reminder about halfway past Easter, about halfway between Easter last year and Easter next year, roughly, we have this reminder that to be a true follower of Jesus Christ is a declaration that death has been conquered and that death no longer has sway over us, that death is, because of what Christ has done for us, a transition and not an ending. It is just a midpoint in our lives, a transition between our earthly pilgrimage and our eternal pilgrimage. And so it is serving as a reminder that we have that promise and hope of eternal life. And so it is in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus that as he is greeting those good folks in that region, he says these words in the first chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. In Him, meaning Jesus Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance and to the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. May the Lord bless us a portion from His holy word. About a year or so before my mother died, because I was her power of attorney, I took over her bill paying and such. And so in doing that, I had all of her mail forwarded down to here, and then I would pay her bills and take care of everything for her so that she had one less thing to worry about. Now, the funny thing is that Mom has been gone going on 5 years now, and I still get mail addressed to her. A lot of times it's from the organizations that she supported during her lifetime, hoping for another donation from her, and they're sorely disappointed. But every now and then I get advertisements for things. The most common ones that I get the advertisements for are for, you know, those buttons that you can wear to push in case you fall down and you can't get up, or I get advertisements for hearing aids. A lot of advertisements for hearing aids, which is funny because that was probably one of the only ailments my mother didn't have problems with. She could hear perfectly. But yesterday, ironically enough, I got a letter in the mail addressed to my mother from a physician's group. And I thought, well, you're a little late here. But then I looked at the tagline underneath the name of the physician's group, and it said, "Regeneration is possible." Okay. I don't think so. I think you're a little late for that. And I opened it up and I looked at it, and it's a medical group that uses stem cell medications or what have you, and they talk about redeeming your joints and other sorts of things, and regeneration of those are possible. But I thought, when I got that envelope, I thought, here it is, the weekend that we celebrate All Saints Day, and I'm getting an envelope addressed to my mother saying regeneration is possible. And I thought, they don't know how right they are. They don't know how true their tagline is. Maybe not in the way that they intended. Maybe not with some medical treatment. Maybe not with the latest and greatest with these kinds of special treatments that they offer nowadays. But regeneration is at the heart. Is at the heart of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That we live in that hope, that hope that the Apostle Paul was talking about to the church at Ephesus, that hope that we have, that everything is in God's hands, that hope that we have, that God is ultimately in control, and that same God who raised Jesus from the grave will regenerate us in a life to come. That is the heart of why we celebrate All Saints Day. Certainly to remember, certainly to give thanks for those whom we have loved so dearly who have gone before us. But even more so to remind us that we are a part of something so much bigger than ourselves. So much bigger than this generation. So much bigger than this time. So much bigger than this place. That we are a part of God's wonderful plan to regenerate all of us. To redeem all of us. To bring us into His heavenly kingdom where we will be as we ought to be. Not as we want to be, but as we ought to be. And it's so appropriate that on this All Saints Day, we take time as an act of worship and as a proclamation to celebrate this Lord's Supper. Because we call it communion. Because we are in community with those who have gone before us, we will be in community with those who come behind us, that we are a part of the body of Christ, not just here and now, but forever. If you want to watch a good All Saints Day movie, Places in the Heart. Sally Fields, Danny Glover, a few others. It takes place during the Depression in Texas. And at times it is a rather heart-wrenching movie because of the violence and the racism and all those other issues that movie deals with. But there is a scene at the end that is a celebration of All Saints Day. In the end, that broken community, that community with people who are ever so human, are seen gathering in the little country church in that town. And they are sharing the Lord's Supper. And you don't think anything about it. There's some nice music going on in the background. Some of your favorite hymns are being sung in the background. And you're simply watching them pass the plate one to another. And all of a sudden you realize that the boy who was lynched is sharing communion with the man who lynched him. And that the Klansman who tried to drive out the guy who was helping the heroine of the story is sitting next to the heroine. And you begin to realize that this is not any ordinary communion. This is a declaration. The communion is for us that reminder that all of the saints will gather at the table in the heavenly kingdom. They will come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and they will gather at this table with all of their brokenness, with all of their pains, with all of their wrongdoings shed at that table. This meal, it's no ordinary meal. This simple drink, this simple bit of food are not ordinary elements anymore. They are for us a tangible reminder of what has gone before us and what is yet to come. A tangible reminder of the hope that we have that we will be among those who gather at the table in the heavenly kingdom to celebrate that God's love is beyond our comprehension. To celebrate that God's forgiveness is immeasurable. To celebrate the fact that God's power is even greater than the power of death. As we celebrate this simple meal today, do not let its simplicity fool you. For it is so much more than a little bit of bread and a little cup of juice. It is the bearer of hope for us. A visual, tangible reminder of grace and mercy and love. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, we thank You. We thank You for the gift of Your love. We thank You for Your love of those saints who have gone before us. We thank You for the gift of Your love for those saints who are yet to be born. We thank You for Your love for each of us gathered this day. Fill our hearts with that hope. That hope that comes from Your love and its power alone. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.